Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. Join host Dan Melnick and Qasim Masood as they explore big ideas, limitless possibilities, and engage with visionaries, entrepreneurs, and thought leaders who dare to dream big. Get inspired, motivated, and find practical tips for personal growth. Think big, dream bigger, and ignite your potential.
Welcome to Think Big with Dan and Qasim. If you want to go ahead and introduce yourself, tell us where you live and what you do for a living.
Sure. Yeah. My name is Colin Rutherford. I live in Buffalo, New York, and I run Greenbox Storage for a living. It's a company that I started when I was a junior in college, and that's about 5 years ago now. So that's what I do for a living.
Awesome. So I'm just curious more about Greenbox Storage, like what exactly it is and how you got the idea for it.
Yeah. So Greenbox is a pickup and delivery summer storage service for college students. So when college students go home for the summer, we pick up their things from their dorm building. We store their things over the summer, and then we drop off their things when they get back to campus the next fall. So how I came up with the idea is I had a freshman roommate who we needed to store his stuff over the summer, and there was no storage units available except for a 45-minute drive away, and he didn't even have a car because he was a freshman. So he had to borrow a car, drive all that distance, and I just knew there had to be a better way. So a few years later, when I had some more time and a little bit more experience, I launched Greenbox Storage.
Awesome. So obviously now it's become like a much more competitive space. So how do you stand out like in the market today?
Yeah, I'm actually not entirely sure it has become more competitive. There's always been a decent amount of competition. There's maybe like maybe seven or so national competitors, which maybe that probably has grown. But standing out, I guess our marketing, I like to think our marketing is better than a lot of our competitors because we do both online presence through like Meta ads. We have a bunch of different social media profiles as well as boots on the ground sales and marketing. So we do a lot of things like tabling, flyering, posting posters, chalking sidewalks, a lot of that guerrilla marketing we like to do.
So do you have partnerships with the schools themselves, or is it more like an independent entity?
We don't. Yeah. Most of our schools, we don't have partnerships. So that means there's really no red tape. We can kind of expand to any school that we want to. And we've been able to have a lot of rapid growth with that structure.
Awesome. So what schools are you in currently, if you can share some of them? And I guess, like, what is your vision for growth in terms of where you want to expand to?
Sure. Yeah. So I started the company at Dartmouth College, where I went to school. And then we actually made an acquisition of a company that does exactly what Greenbox does from Middlebury College, which is about an hour and a half away in Vermont. We also have branches mostly on the East Coast because those are the schools that fit the profile for our business model, basically. So we have a lot of schools like Bentley is up in Boston, Ohio State getting a little more in the Midwest, Emory in Georgia, Vanderbilt in Tennessee, but mostly schools like that over on the eastern side of the United States.
So is your vision to expand nationwide, or are you really just trying to lock in on that part of the country?
Yeah, we can pretty much go anywhere in the country. Our furthest west school is Northern Arizona University, which is in Flagstaff. And that's a good school for us too. But basically the vision is growth of, okay, so breadth and depth. So we need more depth at the schools that we're in. And we also want to expand horizontally to add additional branches. So that's our expansion plan.
But how do you kind of decide like what's a good fit for like that next school that you want to add for the following year?
That's a good question. We've put a lot of research into it, and we've also talked to some people in the space who have been in the space before. So we do research on a few different things. Student population is a big one, obviously. International student population is a big one because they don't want to fly their things home over the summer overseas. So that's a big data point we look at. We also look at dorm on-campus percentage, so the percentage of students that live in dorms. We also look at out-of-state student percentage. So that's a proxy for like, it's a commuter school, basically. That's not going to have much demand for storage. And we learned that the hard way. So out-of-state is a proxy for like the geographic demand, basically.
But do you look and see if there's like other, because I know like, as you mentioned that there's some competitors, but like if your competitors are at that school, do you just not go there? Or does that make it like a it's like a better place to be because the students like already understand the service.
Yeah, I couldn't care less if there's competition at the school. I really couldn't because I know what we do is so good. There's a great value proposition there with the pickup delivery service. And there are other companies that do that too, but there's enough demand in the industry for us to all carve out our share. So competition does not, I don't shy away from competition at all.
Awesome. So obviously you have like a very seasonal business. So are you thinking about like, I mean, expanding or doing, some other kind of storage or like, what does that look like in terms of like other expansion or other streams of revenue for you and for your business?
Yeah, that's a great point. And it's something that I have a strong opinion on as well. So we are going to, I'm of the opinion that you get wealthy by doing one thing extremely well. So my vision for Greenbox is to be the number one best summer storage and moving company for college students in the country. And that's all we're going to do. We're not going to do anything else. We're not going to serve normal people, pickup and delivery storage. We're not going to serve any other. We're not going to do mattress rentals or fridge rentals. We're not going to do any of that. We're just going to do summer storage for college students, and that's it. Nothing else.
That's awesome. Yeah, like I think that's smart because if you just manage that one thing, like you said, like I mean, it's like the possibilities are endless because there's so many schools, not just in the US, even if you go to like, Canada, I mean, you have so many options in North America alone
Yeah.
where you have students that, like, as you said, right, are international students or students that like move to go to school,
Right.
right?
Yeah.
So, like, how many colleges do you typically add per year? Does it vary?
Yeah, we've had a quite the interesting geographic growth. So this year we were at 23 schools in 2024. Last year we were at 18. The year before that we were at 6. The year before
Wow.
that we were at like 2 or 3, and the before that like 1.
Right.
So we tripled from 22 to 23 and then added 5 from 23 to 24. And I'll tell you kind of like why that happened. So I graduated from college and was done with school and was running Greenbox full time when we went from 6 to 18.
Right.
We just went, I was like, grow at all costs.
Right.
It's like, let's get more branches. And we learned the hard way that when you take branches, not all these schools are going to be good schools. And we actually lost money at a third of the schools that we expanded to. So we axed those schools and we were a lot more selective this year. And that's why we didn't have a crazy growth year. Because we took a lot out and then a lot of new ones came in. So we went from 8 to 23 this past season.
Okay. So how do you manage it, right? Because like obviously that you can't be everywhere at once. So how do you find like the right people to actually manage each location across the country?
Yeah, I do. I caught myself. I think I said 8 to 23. We went from 18 to 23. So I just want to clarify
Okay,
that.
okay.
But to manage, basically, we run everything remotely. So the f HQ team is remote, I should say. So I actually am I'm a huge advocate of hiring overseas talent. So almost all, I think actually every single one of my full-time employees is offshore, Pakistan, the Philippines, and Mexico. In addition to the HQ, we have the on-campus representatives, they're student interns. They run the operations on campus. So they do marketing throughout the spring semester, and they actually move the items from campus to storage in the spring and storage back to campus in the fall.
Okay, but like how do you have that like level of quality control, right? Because like with college students, I'm sure they can be challenging, they might have turnover. Like how do you actually find like the right interns you could say for each location?
Yeah, it's tough to manage part-time college student interns. I can speak from experience. Yeah. We on that expansion year from 6 to 18, we hired some students we probably shouldn't have hired because I just wanted to grow so bad and learned the hard way that we didn't have super reliable employees. So that's another focus from we went from last year to this year as well. We were more picky with our interns, so that was a big help. In terms of systems to manage them, we have campus supervisors. They're the direct report. I should say the interns report directly to the campus supervisors, and they make sure the interns are doing their weekly tasks. They're staying on their roles and responsibilities, that kind of thing.
So are those supervisors also remote or are they like physically on campus?
Remote.
Okay, that's cool.
Yep.
So those supervisors are probably sitting like in the Philippines or somewhere else, but they're very much like on top of these students to make sure that they're meeting all of their daily tasks and weekly tasks.
Correct. Yeah, our campus supervisor last year, we only had one last year. She was in Mexico.
Okay.
She actually was born in the United States too. She moved to Mexico. So that was how we had it set up last year. For next year, we're actually going to hire ex-student interns who have been through it on campus. We're going to hire them as full-time campus supervisors because they've been through it. They know what to do on boots on the ground, you know? So we have high expectations for that as well.
Yeah, I mean, that makes sense. I think like if they've like been through that process, it's much easier. So I guess for you, right, what would you say is the biggest challenge that you face when running your business?
Managing people. Without question, with no hesitation, managing people. And I think that's true for almost any business, really.
Right.
Just figuring out how to lead, how to motivate, when to push, when to pull back. That comes with experience. You really just have to do it to be able to get better at it. And especially, I just feel like my job managing college students, like my leadership ability has gone like this because it's hard. It's very hard when you don't have full-time employees. So that's a cool part of the job, but it's also a difficult part of the job.
For sure. So obviously nowadays, many companies are using high-level technology like AI. So do you guys currently use AI? And if not, like where could it maybe bring you some more value to your business?
Yeah, we haven't used AI actually yet, but I do have 3 full-time software developers on payroll, and we've been able to build some unbelievable technology to help us streamline operations and keep things organized. So one of the things that we use is a phone app for our employees. So the phone app, it basically shows them the pickup schedule. It shows them where they need to go, contact phone numbers for the customers, inventorying system when we get to the warehouse, and just a bunch of other stuff like that. In terms of AI, I honestly haven't really considered implementing AI in the business. Once we get that base layer of technology complete and we got it functional, fully functional, it's functional right now, but we can always add more features and stuff. Then I think we add that next layer of AI.
Right. So you kind of like having AI, maybe like talk to students, helping them get set up and books, and just like automating that whole process to make it very streamlined for them to actually set things up and put things in storage.
Yeah.
Essentially.
I think in addition to that, like we have a lot of the communication automation set up already, automated text, automated emails, that kind of thing.
Right.
But actually creating the pickup and drop off schedules are very time consuming. So I think that could be an application for AI in the business.
Hey y'all, it's Dan Melnick, the CEO of Zing. And I wanted to share a special offer for all of our listeners. Right now, if you need software development services, we'll give you 2 weeks of a free trial. Do you need to update your website? Do you want to build a mobile app? Do you want to update something that you've been working on for a long time? We've worked in a high level technologies like AI, machine learning, blockchain. So shoot me a text, 817-874-2208. Thank you.
Makes sense. So what would you say is the one biggest piece of advice that you wish you knew before you started this business?
That's a good question. Let me think about that for a second. I think it would be do market research before entering markets. And we've been speaking about that a little bit, but that really was a wake-up call. When we expanded, we tripled our presence, but a third of those branches were not profitable. We lost money at a third of those branches. So that was definitely a wake-up call. So I would say for any business, make sure where you're going, you actually want to go there.
Right. Yeah. I think it's like, you know, you have this mindset sometimes of like all growth is good growth. That's not always the case, right? So understanding it's like, if you're going to grow, okay, like how can I grow strategically in a way that makes sense, right? When you're just growing just to grow, as you said, sometimes it's just like, you know, exciting, but it's actually not the best decision.
Sure. Absolutely. I agree.
So if we're going to have this conversation again in 1 year from now, where do you see things going for Greenbox?
I see us going to 40 schools next year. I think this was we had a big learning year in 23. It was another learning year in 24. And our tech stack right now is a lot better now than it was heading into this season. So I see us going to 40 schools. I would like to get to 1.5 million in revenue. That would be great. We are at 800. We'll probably hit roughly 800,000 in 24. That's a projection. So I don't know exactly what it's going to be because it's in July right now.
But right. Awesome.
Yeah,
awesome.
That would be a good 1 year goal.
Awesome. And we're rooting for you. So if somebody watching this wanted to reach out, do you mind sharing your website or social media, I guess, best ways to get in contact?
Yeah, I spend a lot of time. I post at least 3 times a day on Twitter. I'm actually most active on Twitter. It's my favorite platform. So my Twitter at is Collin, that's Collin underscore RUTH 89. So we can maybe link that or something after.
Yeah,
this.
Sure.
So Twitter is great. I put out tons of valuable content on Twitter for free. LinkedIn, I post often as well, but I don't like it as much. It seems a little too stuffy for me. I like Twitter. It's a little more casual. It just seems it's more fun.
Is Twitter a good channel for you to get new customers, or is it just more just for you to grow your personal brand?
Unfortunately, I don't think a ton of college students are super active on Twitter. So I don't really push any customers from there to Twitter, but or from Twitter to Greenbox. But
right.
I do build my personal brand there a lot. As of July 2nd, which is today, I have 7,300 followers on Twitter, which is almost 13 months to the date from when I started. So I got about 7,000 followers in a year. So I'm pretty happy with that. I also started writing a newsletter called Business Blitz. So every Tuesday, I send out a newsletter about how to start and improve your business. I talk about things like hiring, leadership, marketing, technology, that kind of stuff. Quick 3-minute reads. No one wants to read a 10-minute blog post every week. So I keep it to 3 minutes.
Awesome. Well, Colin, thank you so much for your time today.
No problem. Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it.
Thank you.